Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show, our first show for 2016. Thank you for joining us. You know, Mondays, I normally interview people, and I have to say, over the holidays, I really just have not had the heart to hammer people who are already suffering so that they can come and be on my radio show. So today I did not set up an interview. I will make an effort. I've had several people contact me this morning and say, you know, maybe we can talk. I find that the people of St. Louis are extremely humble, very naive about what radiation does to their bodies, and really, honestly, very sweet people, but very timid. And there, I have this sense, and I don't know if it's true, nobody has said this to me, but I have this sense that they kind of feel like if they come on the radio show and cause too much trouble, that maybe the government will stop cooperating with them. And to be honest, I'm spitting nails. Like, this is so outrageous. I live on the West Coast, and there is virtually no news about the flooding in Missouri. We know for a fact that the uranium that was processed in the Manhattan Project in St. Louis was finer than powdered sugar. Finer than powdered sugar. And they did not use all of it. In fact, they left a huge quantity in St. Louis, and the dust samples are everywhere. And so this morning, what I did was I went to the Facebook page, Coldwater Creeks, Just the Facts, and Westlake Landfill, and I'm pulled up some stories to read and to talk about. But one of the things that really impresses me about the reading these stories and the people who live there is just the sheer level of lack of knowledge. I was exactly the same way 3 years ago. I actually believed that Fukushima was being handled. And Fukushima is not being handled, as most of us know. And most of these people feel like if they could just move the radiation away from where they are, then they would be fine. Somebody recommended somebody to me to contact. It was a family who is suffering. They've been highlighted in the CBS News story. Their house is right in back of the park that has been cordoned off by the EPA. Yellow, you know, big orange blockage thing, and workers back there. You could see in the CBS story, the workers back there moving dirt. The workers had no face protection, nothing. They were up there just moving dirt as if it was nothing. The person who was highlighted in the story has stage 4 lung cancer, and had just found out the week that they were graduating nursing school. It's an older woman, her and her husband. And I went to look at his Facebook page to see if maybe there was any reference to, this is how I found out his wife had cancer, because this person was recommended to me. So I wanted to see maybe we could talk or something. I was kind of dumbfounded at the comments, and I still am dumbfounded at the comments that are seriously going on the Facebook page. For example, here's one that says, "I'm looking into purchasing a home. Coldwater Creek is in the backyard, gated off. Are we okay as long as we don't swim? Is it airborne? I looked up the cancer map. There wasn't any near the house." Hold on, there's a call. I'm going to add this person in. Perhaps it's someone from St. Louis. Good morning, this is Lonnie Clark. Oh, good morning, this is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show.
Hi, Lonnie. I'm actually one of the administrators and founders of the Coldwater Creek Group.
Yay, thank you for calling. Thank you.
You're
Thank you for calling. And I'm glad that you were
welcome.
listening, and perhaps you were prompted by my conversation, because I mean, my feelings are hurt. I don't know how you guys are bearing with it. I don't even live there, and this makes my heart ache.
I mean, it's been here for 70 years. We're all dealing with it.
Yes. Yeah. You know, the hardest part about the radiation, and this is what they've known, Dr. John Goffman talks about this. The negative effects of radiation don't really show up until four generations. This is why it's taken 70 years for it to manifest, because we've had two, three generations now. And so you guys are now on top of the gross incompetence that they've done and spreading the radiation everywhere and the denial along with everything else. I mean, that seems to be their method of operation, is just act like, you know, to me, I was thinking about this before I came on the air. To me, it seems like the way that our government officials are handling it are like seventh graders who have gotten in trouble by the principal, and they just deny it. Like, we didn't do anything. Like, what are you talking about? It's not my, I didn't do it. And I mean, I really, this, I'm going to write a letter to the president and to my elected officials. Our government needs to grow up, because these are serious issues. That story, I really don't mention people's names on the radio, but when I was looking at that story about the nurse this morning, oh my God, I could not but cry. It really affected me. Because here's a woman who built her life right there, right next to this park. And right as she's about to have this beautiful accomplishment of graduating from nursing school, she's diagnosed with stage four cancer and never smoked a day in her life, and has been a good citizen all of her life and participated. So, do you have any information that you can share with us about the update of what's going on? Because here on the West Coast, we hear nothing.
I mean, so I would really, as one of the founding members, I'd like to kind of take a step back and differentiate. I've heard some of your podcasts, and thank you, by the way, for getting our info out there. I really appreciate it. But one of the things that I think everybody misunderstands is where the cancer cluster is, and the differences between the different groups and the different areas and the flooding. I mean, I think there's
Awesome.
a lot of if you don't live in the area, it's easy to confuse it.
It is. And you know, not only that, there is really literally no information. It's zero.
So if you don't mind, I want to take a step back and just kind
Okay.
of start from the beginning. Do you have a few, I mean,
We have
any
an hour. It's
thoughts
all yours. We're on till
or,
9 o'clock, so.
wonderful. Wonderful. So my name's Kim.
Hi,
I
Kim.
am one of the founding members. I'm just going to start from the beginning.
Okay, thank you.
So I grew up in the area. I lived in Florissant for 27 years, my entire life. My parents are the original owners of a house that was built there in a brand new subdivision that was built in the 60s.
Wow.
And that's what folks, I think, don't understand, is the waste actually predated all of the houses.
Right. I understand
Okay.
that.
So the waste was stored north of the city in a very unpopulated area in 1946. Okay. There was a huge population boom, and you can look at all the census data, and we've, over years, this is what we've done.
Right.
It's pulled up the census data, and it's very typical urban sprawl, right? So in the mid to late 50s, they began to build subdivisions around this creek in North St. Louis County. It's actually where McDonnell Douglas resides, which is now Boeing. And so in the late 60s, they were ramping up a lot of production of airplanes. And so most of the subs that came into the area were engineers working on these planes. They were also machinists. So the town is very much of a blue-collar town, hardworking folk, that moved into the area because of work.
And patriotic on top of it,
And
feeling
very
like,
patriotic, yeah.
yeah, I get that.
So in the, again, we're the first group of children to live in these homes in the 60s and 70s. I'm 47 years old. Okay. So I was born in 1969. My parents purchased the home in 1965, brand new. Okay. My dad, they had lived in another house in the area before that they had also bought new. 10 years earlier, and our family was just growing. So here we all grow up, we move away, we go to college, we do what kids do, we move out of our parents' home, right? In 2011, we all reconnected on Facebook. Okay, there was a small group of us. Myself, you'll see the girl that started the health survey, her name is Dr. Diane Schanzenbach. She also moved away from her parents' home, ended up with a PhD from Northwestern. Or no, I'm sorry, a PhD from Princeton. She teaches at Northwestern.
That's really awesome. You know why? Because she knows how to conduct scientific studies.
Exactly. So I myself have an engineering degree. I went back to school. I also have a nursing degree. Another one of our founding members is a CPA for a pharmaceutical company and a CFO for a long time. She's on sabbatical to raise her children. Her brother is a defense mapping specialist who is a professor at Stanford. So these are the types of kids that grew up in these neighborhoods, and we all scattered across the country. As we come back together, we
And
realize that.
let me inject this. If you notice, all of these children of your parents and their peers are very much like the people of that generation, hardworking, kind of blue collar
Yeah.
people, very patriotic, and worked hard to get their children a great education. And all of those people have somewhat improved, stepped up the financial ladder, the educational ladder. They have actually become very valuable citizens in our country.
Yeah, I mean, we all, everybody works hard. You try to do better than the generation before you, as I hope my kids do after me, I mean, that's just life. And so when we began to get together, we noticed that we were all sick, or that our parents were sick, or that our siblings were sick. One of our other members is also a professor, and he is fighting his own illness with a glioblastoma multiforme, which is a brain tumor that is radiation linked. I lost my first child to a glioblastoma multiforme when he was 6. He was born with it.
I'm so sorry.
We have several folks that have thyroid issues. These are all these diseases we have are all radiation linked, and we are the children who grew up around the creek. We had no idea that the contamination was there. It's been hidden in plain sight for many years. It
Just
was
as it
in the wide
is.
open. But you have to take a step back, and this is where you and I may differ some on opinions. We have to take a step back because it was in the newspaper. It did make a huge splash in the newspaper, thanks to Kay Dry, in the late 1970s and 80s. But because social media didn't exist, if you didn't read the paper or you read the other paper that the town had, you would have had no idea. You
Well,
know
you
what I
know what
mean?
I mean, I get it, but that is actually one of the things that I really feel like This is we can't just make this yesterday's
I'm
news.
not make no, we're not making it yesterday's, but I want you to understand where we're coming from.
I do, I
Yeah.
do.
Folks
And you
have
know what?
no idea.
You know what?
I
I will
mean,
tell
and
you this. I understand that we are facing the biggest obstacle. We have the United States military behind the secrecy. We have, I mean, all of the investors, they're all committed to secrecy on this. This is how it's been. So I understand the efforts of Beyond Nuclear and K-Dry. They have been really diligent, but they're
right.
facing a gigantic monster to
Right.
just
So
open up.
this stuff sat at the base of a creek, right? And over years, these barrels eroded. And you can actually go online, and I believe I've got it posted all over, but it's literally, I don't know, have you been to our webpage?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I go to
Okay.
it daily and I read all of the
Okay.
posts. I've read them
Not the
all.
Facebook page, the webpage.
Oh yeah, I have actually.
So coldwatercreekfacts.com, and you can literally see the barrels sitting out there. It was, and again, they were right by the highway. It was in plain sight. Nobody, and you have to wonder how that happens across the entire country. This stuff just sits out there and nobody questions it.
Right, because we believe that the government's regulating it correctly.
Right.
Which
So, over the time we started, as we started discussing this, we started the health survey. And have you seen our cancer maps?
I have.
Okay. And so you understand now the thought process behind it. So what happened is, what we realized is we all moved away. And I always tell folks this, there needs to be folks are like, well, you don't live in the area anymore. You don't live here. And it's like, you know what? We're the first generation of children experiencing illness. And we did what kids do. We move away from our parents' home. There needs to be an intervention if we didn't, Right? So
Exactly.
hopefully there's more of us that moved away than there are 40-year-olds living in their parents' basement.
Yeah,
That,
or frankly, people living there, it's better for you guys to have moved
right.
away.
Well, but we moved away for jobs and stuff like that. Nothing against our hometown. So what happens is today's disease registries only capture where you live at time of diagnosis. So if there's when you are exposed to low levels of ionizing radiation chronically, there is a latent disease effect of decades,
That's
right? Decades, and it also expresses in future generations. So with that latent exposure, or latent presentation, and a genetic gene expression, what happens is if you move away from your hometown because folks are not, we don't live in the same towns like we did
Well, because we're
8 years
Americans.
ago.
Americans move away from their hometowns,
Right,
unlike many
exactly.
Europeans. We,
Right.
that's our culture, where
We are a
we're expected to
transient
just kind of
society.
go out and explore the world. We
Right.
encourage our children to move away,
Right.
unlike Europeans and other parts of the world, where if you move away, you break your parents' heart.
Right. Absolutely. We are a transient society. And so the way that our government, not just government, but our healthcare facilities capture data is based on a transient society. So they look at where you live at time of diagnosis for a cancer registry. So many of us had moved away by the time we presented with disease. So our cancer registries never capture it. When you look at death certificates only capture final cause of death, not the primary disease. So for example, I'll give you an example. My son was born, he's second generation, he's a child of the exposed. He was born with a glioblastoma multiforme. By the time he was born, I had moved away and was married, right? And living with my husband on another in another part of St. Louis. So the disease registry did not capture him in the zip codes that were affected. I got a job. I now live in Detroit because I worked for Chrysler for many years when I was an engineer. By the time he passed away, cause of death on his death certificate said respiratory failure and listed Michigan as the state of death. So now, if you are a researcher, an epidemiologist, and you go to study a cancer cluster in today's society, you have no way of capturing a cluster because the data you pull from is census data, disease registries, and death certificates.
You know what? Your name is Kim, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Kim. You know what? That is actually this that summation is such a magnificent way to summarize it. I really appreciate this because it brings it into focus.
No, no problem. But that's why all these years this is not being captured, and that is why we created the cancer maps, okay?
Well, I think it's awesome.
When you're looking at these maps, you have to understand something. That is not current state.
Right.
Okay? And this is where the confusion comes in. You know, we did this because we couldn't figure out, you know, we'd all moved away, and we tried to pull the data, and we were working with the ATSDR, and there's no data set. There is no data set out there today that captures this.
And there's no model for this, actually.
There's
this
no
is,
models.
This
and, you know,
is the
our, and I have
part.
To tell you, you know, we have multiple economists and political scientists. I kind of went through some of them that are the admin in our group, and they agree. There is no way to capture this data. Okay? They couldn't come up with a good study design. So you're talking about scholars from Princeton, Yale, MIT, Stanford, and Northwestern that are admin of our group. That
well, you
grew
know
up
what?
In North County.
Honestly, the reason that there's no way to capture the data, this was intentional. This was
well,
an. I mean,
a disease. You have to create a national disease registry, and you have to capture historical information in
well,
order to
not
do
only
that
that,
properly.
We have to also create. You know, part of what happens here is anything related to nuclear is seriously underreported. This is
way beyond nuclear. This would account for any sort of disease cluster. You know, I mean,
right.
This is right. So any sort of disease cluster from any sort of
toxicity,
teratogen out there.
Right, and
you're not going to be able to capture.
Well, we just don't have that. Our system has not been set up to try to figure out how did people, there's been no, just as you said with your son who died in Michigan, there was no investigative theory about, okay, how did the, it's kind of like my anger, to be honest, I'm really angry at the professional cancer industry because we just accept cancer of children as if it's like, oh, this child
right.
has cancer. Like, no one's talking about how did all these children get cancer?
Right. I agree. I totally agree with that.
I mean,
so I, you know, the thing is these cancer maps that we have collected.
Which I recommend everybody going there. It's www.coldwatercreekfacts.com. And there's a drop-down menu that says 2015 health maps, 2014 health maps, and they are astounding. Astoundingly accurate. And I, when I saw this page a couple weeks ago, I thought to myself, for sure there are some scientists involved in this because the way it's been collected has been, it. I mean, this is, looks like it's scientific data, the way you guys have presented it. It's excellent.
I mean, thank you. I mean, I a caveat there, this is all personal reported information. So it's, you know, it's a survey. It's not scientific data, but, you know, we've tried our best to collect it. You know, in an appropriate manner.
And
the
thank
one
you
thing
for
is,
correcting me on that. You see, this is what I really appreciate about this conversation. I can tell, like, you can tell that I'm a non-scientist type. I'm just like an emotional American, right? Like, I'm graduate. I'm going to school. I've gone back to school to get my law degree so I can help. I mean, I really am.
Congratulations!
I was going to get a master's degree in Spanish. Because I want to change careers, but when I heard that there were only 6 firms in the United States that are willing to fight the nuclear industry, I decided to, the next day I went to school and changed my major to law, and I'm getting a law degree so I can challenge the Price-Anderson Act, which is why that second clause in all the legislation has to be cost savings is indemnity for everybody. That has to go away, but I struggle with the science. I mean, honestly, that's my last, I'm taking my last two two classes at my AA degree and this term, and science has been a big challenge, as you can tell by my responses, because I'm just like,
It's okay. Everybody has their strong suit, right?
well, I feel like that little robot from, outer space, like Danger, Will Robinson, arms flailing. I'm like, oh, I have to contain myself. So I really appreciate your phone call. I have to say, so bringing some sanity back into this, because it's easy for those of us on the outside to get all emotional, and frankly, I really believe that we need to pressure our government to be
I agree.
responsible partners.
I
And
agree.
we don't need to blame anybody. I'm not,
Right.
we can bury the past. Blame looks backwards, responsibility looks forward.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. So these maps, what they show is over time, the cancers of people who live there today and used to live there. Because what
Right.
we were trying to do is show, again, a clustering that it was more than expected. All right, so basically, our survey asks, do you have cancer today or have you had cancer? And did you ever live in an address related to the creek? Okay, so people have written in and given us their historical residence. So you might see two people live in the same street or on the same house, both report there. So you need to understand that's layered over years. It's not just, you're not going to go there and see every single sick person in that area today. Okay?
And it's also only the people who responded.
Pardon me? And it's based on people who responded, right? We believe it could be much larger. I mean, we believe that there are folks have reported for their lost loved ones, but that doesn't account for everyone. Now, I hear you talk about Westlake. I'll give you a little. I can't talk too much about them. I'm not an admin for their page. But I can tell you that they grew out of us. Okay? So one of their lead admin, Karen Nickel, is actually a Coldwater Creek previous resident. She grew up around Coldwater Creek as well. Okay? She joined our page. She has some health issues, which is why she came to our page. And then she moved, and again, the transition was everybody moved to North County, where we live, and then the next urban sprawl move was out Northwest County into the Westlake area. Okay? So what you're seeing is a lot of children from Coldwater Creek who moved to the Westlake area. Now, if you look at our maps, we are not depicting disease around Westlake. They are two separate issues. I'm not saying that the disease will not come, okay? I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is we do not share the same watershed, so there is no mode of transportation for the waste to get from Coldwater Creek to Westlake at all, okay?
Say, could you
As a
say
matter of
that
fact, the
again?
creek,
Could you say that again?
there was no mode of transportation. So Westlake, yes, the stuff is stored there, and they have their own issues with the fire. But as far as cancers today, Coldwater Creek, if it was contamination from Coldwater Creek, there is no way from contamination to have spread on its own, other than being hauled by a truck, over to Westlake. So our cancer maps and the dying folks is not inclusive of the current population at Westlake.
I see
Okay?
what you're
So when
saying.
people say people are dying in Westlake, look at the cancer maps. That's a big fallacy.
Oh, okay. And so
Do
let
you
me,
understand?
I
Do you
do get this
understand
now.
two separate, way separate, different situations?
Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying now. Coldwater Creek, well, from what my understanding of the history of Coldwater Creek, a large portion of the contamination came when there was an accident and stuff was poured into it accidentally.
No, it wasn't a large, yes. And if you look, and I'd be happy to share this stuff with you. It's on our webpage too.
I'm here.
I know, I'm just seeing if I've got a picture of it. So what was happened was there were, if you look at our maps, there are three sites. If you go to the Coldwater Creek facts page, there is the St. Louis Airport site, the Latty Avenue site, and then Westlake Landfill, right? Can you see those on those maps? You should be able to see the triangles. And you'll see the creek is outlined in blue, right? So that's the creek and the creek watershed. You'll notice the cancer cluster depicted around there. Westlake's about 5 to 6 miles away and does not share a watershed
I
with us.
see it. I see exactly what you're
Okay?
saying
See what
because of
I'm
the
saying?
what, yeah, I get exactly what you're
So
saying.
here's what was stored purposely at Coldwater, at the headwaters of Coldwater Creek. Okay? And basically what happened is over time it eroded. And the creek floods continuously, so all of that erosion flooded into the creek. Okay? We are talking about 121 tons of material, including pitch blend raffinate, Colorado raffinate, barium sulfate, all sorts of heavy metals, including arsenic, all of that, 121 tons
This is what your
stored at
page
the creek.
says. Radioactive materials were stored in bulk on the ground, open to the elements and unattended next to Coldwater Creek until the 1970s.
Yes. So in 1979, a company called Cotter Company bought 8,000 tons, okay, of that 21,000 tons.
Now, can
So
you
it varies.
explain this to me? Why would they buy this? What is
Because there's stuff in there other than uranium. There's heavy metals. Okay, there's heavy metals that are valuable in like the chemical industry, the mechanical industry, stuff that includes like barium, cadmium, chromium, nickel. And so what they thought at the time, and because they didn't know any better, is that they could extract the heavy metals and reuse them. So they took a portion of it out to Colorado. Okay, and then another portion after they realized that they could not carry out the extraction process was dumped into West Lake. That's 8,000 tons of the 121,000 tons. So a very, very, very small portion, not even 10%. Okay? Was dumped. So now you're kind of seeing the difference. And of that portion, it was the barium leach sulfate. It wasn't all the other contaminants that are in Coldwater Creek.
I see
So
what you're
it was a
saying.
portion of it and a portion of the chemicals. So Westlake has its own set of issues, right? They have a fire impending following this stuff. They don't know exactly where the waste is. But you can see how it's very different from being left out in a field to run off into a creek that runs 19 miles long.
And
Okay?
you can actually, if you go to your website, you can actually see the cancer clusters really are in the watershed for
Yes,
real. Like that is
absolutely,
what's really drives it
absolutely. And the
home.
watersheds do not meet. Here's
Kim,
another thing.
this really answered a lot. See, this is the hard
Right.
part for me. I read a
Right.
story, now I can't tell you, I don't have it cited here right now, but I did read a story about that this is what the story said. This is where I got this idea that there was a large portion of uranium that was accidentally spilled into Coldwater Creek and caused some issues. And that is, this was like, I think, in the 70s and or in the 80s. And then that's when the government began to realize there was a problem. That
No,
was the
no,
summation. So
no.
that
And
was
see,
kind of
that's
a bit of
so wrong.
misinformation. That was
Exactly. And I
misinformation
mean, like I
media.
said, Westlake's got some pretty serious issues. But the cancer clusters, the children with cancers, none of that is related to Westlake. We have not seen, at least from our survey, which is the only one I know that's out there, we have not seen an expression of cancer from Westlake yet. And that would make sense because if the stuff was dumped in the 70s, right? By the time it gets off site, if it, I know they're working on what's going on and they've got that lead study now, but as it transports off site, you're figuring people might have been exposed in the 80s, right? So with a latent disease presentation of low levels, you wouldn't be expecting to see any cancers yet, or just now you would be expecting to see
In
them.
the next decade, we're going to start seeing it.
Exactly. I mean, if there's something there, and that's depending, that is the $20 million question. But when they say there's cancer out there in children, that's all Coldwater Creek, and that's because that stuff was leaking in there from the 50s. And
And
so the
that's why
children
those
who grew up
children,
there.
the babies, the 7, 8 year olds, but this is why
And
I set
that
this
is
up.
why we are seeing children now, babies now, because they are our children. They are the second generation. Make sense?
It
And
does.
we are seeing a few cancers down in the Westlake area, but that also we can't deny that a lot of those folks grew up in Coldwater Creek. So they are second generation.
Wow. Well,
Okay.
thank
So this
you.
is a huge issue. And I mean,
This
we've
is
all moved across the
gigantic.
country, so it is a big issue. But, people need to kind of understand the differences to really appreciate it.
Well, and really, this is the thing. This is how, frankly, the EPA, the Department of Energy, they operate on misinformation. That's what they do. And so, like this story that I read about, I was trying to piece together in my head between Westlake, because I talked to Don and I've talked to citizens, trying to figure out where, and I've looked at the maps, and because I've never been there and I don't know the community, I look at a map and I'm trying to figure it out. And frankly, when I first saw your webpage, I thought it was really interesting that all these cancers were short, were all along. It's really obvious it's all along the watershed and all along the creek. I
And
mean,
there's, and we've got, we if you look actually on our page, I think there's a presentation, and we show an overlay of the zip codes and the watershed and the cancer maps, and they're almost identical.
it is really, I mean, honestly, your webpage is really, really great, because if it helps people understand it. But this is why your phone call is so valuable, because I have gone to your webpage, but then I get information out there and reading stories that just kind of confuses it. So, like these pictures of all this big, gigantic storage waste, like I had no idea that the Westlake landfill was only a portion of the majority of the waste that's really stored in St. Louis. Is that correct?
It is. That is correct.
I mean, most of the.
And honestly, Coldwater Creek is only one site. There's other sites. Weldon Springs has a whole other site, and that's at the other end of the city. So the
Wow.
amount of stuff that was created by the Manhattan Project, the residual, it's just
Astound.
incredible,
Well, I know that I was reading John Goffman's book, and in there he said that one of the things that appalled him was that the nuclear scientists did not tell the public that there was nuclear waste for 20 years. This
Right,
is
I
why it
know.
accumulated so much, because they just kept kicking the can down the road until there was no place to bury the cans.
I agree. And here's the other thing is, because nobody knew, it's not just the creek. So what happened is there was that population boom in the 50s, right? Florissant, which is one of the big cities along the creek, the name Florissant means Valley of the Flowers. It's a beautiful area, right? You can imagine because it's got the creek and all this heavy, beautiful soil. So what they did is they rerouted the creek through these brand new subdivisions. And as they rerouted it, they took all of that soil sediment and they spread it across the entire area into
Because
the
they didn't
backyard.
know, because they had
Because they
no
didn't
idea.
know. They didn't know, right? So
Wow.
they didn't know at all that what they were doing. They didn't know it was leaking into the creek. Even if they knew that those piles were there, they had no idea it was leaking into the creek, right? So this stuff is no longer just the creek. It is the creek runs 19 linear miles and has a watershed of 42 square miles.
Oh my
That's all
gosh.
interconnected. And within that, there's all these subdivisions that we're showing hot spots. And they're hot spots because the soil was spread as they created these subs.
Kind of like what they're doing in Fukushima, spreading it
Right.
everywhere.
Janelle, one of our administrators, she always likens it. I love her illustration. She says it's like spreading icing on a cake is what they did. With spreading the soil around to, because what do you do when you make a new subdivision? Everybody wants a beautiful green lawn.
Well, not only that, I think that they were convincing themselves that if they thinned it out, the radiation wouldn't harm anybody.
Well, and these, like I said, your average Joe who was putting a subdivision up had no clue, right? So I use this term. It's no laughing matter. It's a comedy of errors, right? These horrible things happen, and you can point to all the different blunders that happen along the way,
Yeah, but
over
it
the
doesn't
years.
really help us solve the issue.
No, it doesn't, but it explains the spread and
Yeah,
then
how it
well, you know,
happened.
and why you didn't know. So now, you know, this flooding today. I want to talk about that a little bit. And
Okay.
I know, I'm sorry, I'm using your whole
I want you
hour.
to use the whole hour. Please,
So
please,
this
I'm grateful.
flooding today, the Army Corps of Engineers started cleaning up the area, the Coldwater Creek area, St. Louis Airport site and Laddie Avenue in 1989. Okay? Just last year, they completed it. Because you can see, and I told you, 121,000 tons eroding into those areas. You can imagine
So
what they've been doing.
1989. And so what did they do with it when you say they cleaned it up? What
So
was
what
the
they do is they actually remove the soil, and it is shipped to a repository in Idaho, a licensed facility in Idaho via rail. Okay, so it is completely removed from the area. So when the creek floods today, and the flooding that you saw is a common occurrence. That creek has been flooding like that for 50 years. Okay, so once it's almost like likening to picking up a jug of milk. If you drop a jug of milk on the floor, do you clean up the spill first, or do you pick the jug up first? You pick the jug up, right? So over the past 30 years, the Corps has been picking the jug up. They can't go downstream and clean up because it just keeps recontaminating, right? So they picked the jug up, and then once they were done, they started testing down the banks of the creek. Okay? And they are working with us. We have shared all of our maps with them, and they are testing where our hot spots are. And what they're doing is as they test down the creek, they have to go in a systematic, they have to go
I
with the
understand.
creek, because if they start at the other end and there's still contamination at the beginning, they just keep recontaminating, right? Over years and years. So they're testing the creek, and as they find these hot spots, they are testing outwards until they bound the material or find the end. And so that is what you're seeing when they did the story on the contamination in the parks. They are bounding the material that washed there 30 years ago. Okay? So, as that material is sitting, the reason they're saying it's quote unquote safe, and they know it's not safe long term, and they admit it. They admit that 100%. Their health physicists admit it. Everybody admits it. Dr. Khan, who's the Department of Health, is coming forward and creating these documents to take to your physician, you know, all stuff we've been working on behind the scenes.
That's
So
awesome.
what they're doing is they're finding it, and this because the creek has washed year over year and pushed sediment year over year over this stuff, it pushes it farther and farther down into the ground, right? So it goes from in the 1950s being on the top layer of soil, you know, to 2015 being 6 inches to 5 feet deep. Okay, so if you are walking in the area, there's no immediate concern. If you start gardening and, you know, digging and you're inhaling it chronically over years, absolutely, you're going to end up the same way the rest of us are. Sick.
You know
You
what
know?
I can't get over is when I see these pictures of the EPA working on these sites, those workers don't really have any protective gear on them.
Well, it's not, now that's not the EPA there, that is the Army Corps of Engineers. Coldwater Creek is a designated fuse wrap site, formerly utilized.
That's
Okay.
right. I get it.
We are already being cleaned up.
But
Okay.
is it
Westlake
is
is not.
Okay, so Coldwater Creek is being cleaned up. So thank
Coldwater
you.
Creek.
That's a very important fact for
Right.
me to
Coldwater
understand.
Creek is being cleaned up. We are considered, because we were an original responsible party, the 8,000 tons of material, that small portion that was dumped into the landfill, was sold. And so the DOE doesn't own it, and that is where the legal battle comes.
Okay, so now let me
Okay?
back up
So
here a
it
little bit.
changed hands to a third party. So they're saying with that party, with changing hands, they sold the liability as well.
Of course, of course. Now, but this is really the important factor, really. Now, you're gonna, now, all of that hundreds of thousands of tons that they had placed there originally, that has all been moved out to Idaho, and now they're remediating the soil.
Yes, the majority of it. But they are still remediating the creek itself and testing the homes, which is what you're seeing coming out in the news, is the results of those tests that they knew all along. Okay, and so when you see these childhood cancers that are being reported, all of that is over years. So again, talking about our cancer map, that's not like a one-time deal, right? So you're kind of seeing, you're piecing together the
Yeah,
picture.
now this is what I'm glad that you're on here because then you have something called, you have these little diagrams on your map that says slaps and latte. What is that?
Those are the names of the original sites from the Army Corps of Engineers. So the original site was the St. Louis Airport site. The other one, Latty Avenue, is the name of their second storage site. Latty Avenue is the name of the street that's right there. Those two sites are original Mallinckrodt storage sites. Okay.
And so that contamin the pollution, nuclear waste has been moved off of those sites also?
Yes, those are the two sites that they have been cleaning up for 30 years.
Wow, and so the cancer, you can see on your map, the cancer just went down the watershed and spread out. So,
Yes. And it spread out, as we talked about, because of the construction, and everything else.
And that's why at Westlake we see fewer cancer clusters because A, no one's been looking, and B, the contamination has just not been there long enough to really create the cat. We don't see the catastrophic events yet because.
And they're not in our watershed.
Right, and they're not
And
in your watershed.
right, so you do see some cancers, but again, urban sprawl, we saw a lot of people move from Coldwater Creek to the Westlake area
Right. Now,
as adults.
what happened with what was that? What they were talking about with the? I read a story this morning that said there's more hot spots around St. Louis, cancer clusters around St. Louis. Does that spread outside the watershed?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, the hot spots that they were talking about in the Wall Street Journal ad, again, the Wall Street Journal and these recent reports that have come up have two separate issues. They talk about Westlake, and then they talk about contamination in the homes. Those contamination in the homes are Coldwater Creek homes, not
So they're
Westlake.
all mixed up themselves. Like this is
Exactly.
exactly this whole thing is all the inf this is why I really appreciate your phone call and I
Right.
hope
So I mean,
I
and I am not taking away from the dangers at Westlake, but we can't move forward if we don't understand the differences. Because if people keep, here's what happens. People say these cancer clusters are related to Westlake. God, we've got to go to the president, we've got to go to McCaskill, we've got to go to these people. Well, when these agencies start investigating, they're going to find out the truth, right? And they're going to say there's no cancer cluster. So we need to go forward with the factual data,
And say the correct info. So
absolutely.
this is
Otherwise, it helps
partly,
none of us.
well, it's the same MO. I hate to say it, but I am no defender of the nuclear industry. I believe
I'm
they've
not
done
either.
this.
Don't get me wrong,
They have
but
done this intentionally. Look with, I mean, if we look at the deceptions that they've done at San Onofre, at Diablo Canyon, at Hanford, I mean, at every single nuclear facility, I mean, it is, it's about time. And I hope, this is my goal, to make 2016 the year that the United States government actually grows up, graduates high school, and becomes responsible adults because. This is just where we our people deserve better than this. We deserve
Oh, I
people
agree.
who we deserve scientists who refuse to be paid for their silence. That's essentially what we've had for 70 years. And
And
I understand this, having done a little bit of research in this, is that scientists really get threatened with their jobs, their tenure at universities. Like they're not allowed to talk. There's a
I know.
And that silence is actually killing our democracy and killing the health of our people.
Right.
And this
Oh,
is,
no, I agree.
to me, honestly, Kim, this is why to me I had to adopt St. Louis on my radio show
No, and
because.
I love it. I love it, and I couldn't thank you more. I want to, you know, the goals for Coldwater Creek, because we are already being remediated.
Right.
We can't change our exposure. And those maps look nasty, but a lot of people don't understand that that is a picture over time.
And it
You know,
sounds
they're
like,
still horrible. And I, you know, my son died from this, so I know how horrible it is. But the thing is that they're cleaning up. You know, there's a couple of things. They can't clean up. Oh, sorry.
that's okay.
They're cleaning up. If they want to clean up at a faster pace, somebody has got to fund Fuse Rep more. And
That's
let me kind
right.
of explain. I'm just going to kind of go through kind of what we're looking at. Faster cleanup. Fuse Wrap, we are not the worst contaminated site. Believe it or not.
Oh,
Okay?
wow.
Fuse Wrap has over 20 sites across the country.
Oh my God.
Okay? So of these 20 sites, Fuse Wrap gets funded by the government $100 million a year.
That's nothing.
Right. So 20 sites. 20 goes into 100 million, 20 million. Or 20 goes, that gives us each about $5 million a year.
That's nothing.
Okay? Of those $5 million, you have to pay for testing. We have to pay for transportation of our waste on a rail car, right? We have to pay for, you know, all of the labs, all of the engineers, all of the civilians doing work. So by the time it comes down to it, what actually goes into doing the testing of the creek is about $2 million a year.
So, Kim, let me ask you this. Who, what do you know? I'm going to ask you directly since it, obviously you've been intensely involved in this. Do you know which committees are those in the Senate and the Congress
I
that
think
actually?
it's the Department of Energy. I think there's an Energy and Environmental Committee. I mean, so really, if folks want to make a difference, rather than saying the government sucks, they're out to get us, you know, and we do get a lot of people who are angry, and I get that, you know, even in our own group, especially when they're new, they need to understand that this is an act, a government federal act to
Right.
get us more funding to get test up cleaning. You know, our Army Corps of Engineers guys that you see out there without masks. You know what? 50% of them live in the community.
Right. So
You
why?
know?
Yeah,
So
exactly.
they're not the enemy.
Well, that's the other thing that I say to people. Look, we are the government. We have not had a
Right. We
particular.
need to get more funding.
Well, part of what we need is people to actively engage, call the
Yeah.
Energy and Environmental Committee and say, hey, we need you to triple or quadruple the amount of money going into
Right.
all of these sites, because the reason that they've done it on the cheap is there's just not the money funded.
I
It's
know. And the funding for Fuse Wrap is being cut,
right.
actually.
Actually,
You know,
that's
it's a huge deal.
I was speaking with Congressman Lacey's office a couple weeks ago, and that's what he said to me. You know what? Like, honestly, it's one thing to get this legislation passed. We're happy about it. But then the biggest obstacle that we're going to have to really face and address this problem is getting the funding out of
Lacey
people.
Clay is absolutely 100% right. It's
It's.
not getting legislation passed. Nobody wants contamination out there. It's when we do, are they going to be able to, you know, how much is it going to cost to remove, and how many years does that mean when you only get, you know, $2 million a year?
Well, this is the interesting thing after that conversation that I had with him. You know, like, what kind of system is this where we have legislation where we say, yes, we're going to fix the problem, but inside that legislation, we don't authorize the spending. We have to pass another bill so that the money, I mean, honestly,
Because you know what? Once you become a Fuse Wrap site, remember, then it's not just us. We can't just say Coldwater Creek and Westlake were the worst. We have to go up and say, Hanford, we're worse than you. We need more money. You know
Right.
what I mean? So then it becomes an argument
Yeah, but
between all these sites that
see, but
are
this is the
a
part that
spook.
I really like. This is where I think we need to pressure our elected officials. And I
Right.
mean pressure them because honestly, there should not be an argument. It should not be we're worse than you. It should be
I know.
we
But
have a
and you know what? And that
responsibility to
is
fix
not that's
this.
not Fuse Rep's fault. You
No,
know, they're
no.
trying to stop a bleeding artery with a Band-Aid.
That's
You know?
a great way to put it, Kim. That's
So,
exactly
you
right.
know,
But
the
it's up
other
to us
thing.
to press for the funding. Like when we're sending money to countries like outrageously to
I
Saudi
agree.
Arabia,
I agree. We
billions of
should be taking
dollars.
care of ourselves first. We can't even clean up the first nuclear waste, which is what this is,
Right.
you know, before we start doing other things, we should worry about, you know, it's
Well,
like my kids. I don't let them go out and play until they cleaned up the mess they made in the living room.
right,
You
exactly.
know?
And we need to have, this is a health, public health issue, and we need to
It is.
have people over profits, needs to
Which
be
is
our
what
motto.
brings me, which is what brings me into our main goal as a group. Funding, right? Funding for cleanup, but it's all about the health. It's all about everybody's health. Chronic low-level exposure. You're not going to walk out in your backyard tomorrow and be irradiated, you know?
Right.
Nobody should be under that impression. This happens over years,
Well, we're
okay?
the fact is that's
So,
why this show is called The Age of Fission. Post
right.
Fukushima, we're
Yeah.
all living with radiation.
We
Fukushima
are.
has not stopped. It's
No,
just,
I agree.
it's pushed
And
us over Niagara Falls in a barrel. We have to learn how to cope with it.
right, which by the way, Niagara Falls is a sister site. You do know that.
No, I didn't
Yeah,
know.
Tonawanda is another site. But that's a whole nother story. Whole
Well,
nother episode.
I hope that you will come back on the radio. I hope that you will join us
I would
again.
love to.
Because
But yeah, public.
honestly, you have given us a really awesome show today. I really appreciate it. Thank
Oh,
you.
thank you. So no, public health and awareness is our biggest goal. And people, you know, here's the thing. If you don't know you're an at-risk group, people in their 40s are ignoring their health issues, right?
Right.
So we need to tell these people, and this is why we started this group. We had girlfriends in their late 30s getting migraines and brushing it off. Their doctors were brushing it off because, you know, they're like, you're a young mom, you're working, you're overworked, all these things, you know, it's the
Yeah.
signs and symptoms of fatigue. It wasn't. We had a dear friend we lost to a brain tumor
Wow.
because she was otherwise healthy, and that is what is happening. So that is why we are working very closely with the ATSDR to develop a cancer study. And when I say this, people are like, it's not happening soon enough. You got to remember, we have all these PhDs on our team, and we've been saying for 5 years, even before the ATSDR got involved, this is going to take a lot of brain power, and it's going to take a couple years to truly do a study to do this justice for this area.
Well,
And
you
so we are
know.
currently working with the ATSDR to do that. And I mean, I know it's not happening soon enough. I know everybody's upset. Trust me, I lost my son. I understand the sense of urgency, but we are trying to unravel what took place over 70 years.
Right.
So to do that in 2 or 3 years, I think is pretty phenomenal.
Unreasonable. Yeah. Well, the biggest thing it sounds like to me that we really need to push for is increase the funding for FUSRAP. That,
Absolutely. Funding for FUSRAP and support from the ATSDR. You know,
What's
these
the AS?
gov
Say that acronym again. AS.
ATSDR, the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry. Guess what? They develop the disease registries. So they're out here doing a public health assessment for us right now.
And so they are
And
also
they
underfunded.
are actively helping us, and it is a 2-year process, 18 months to 2 years, and they just started.
Well,
And
you
they
know what?
started because of the maps we developed. So we're pretty excited. We've been pursuing them for several years now. And the fact that we have enough data for them to come on board, we couldn't be happier.
That is really awesome. That is incredibly awesome. So look, you know what? We have about 45 seconds left on the show. So
Sorry.
I hope that you will come back. No, please, no apologies. I am so grateful you called in and set me straight. You've given me a plethora of information and really helped me reset my direction, because it sounds like to me that our number one thing is to put pressure for funding for FUSRAP and to really demand that these things get funded immediately. So,
Yeah, because you can't clean up if you don't fund.
well, thank you so much, Kim, and please, I will, I'll Facebook me and give me your contact information. Let's arrange another interview. We've got about 10 seconds. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Thank you, Kim, for calling us, and I really appreciate your phone call.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Okay.